We're going to be in God's Word today. We're going to actually go through a wonderful presentation. What I've told you and shared with you before, that we are dealing with a conversation with God. Good to see you, my brother. Dealing with a conversation with God. I've asked you on a couple of occasions since you all have been here, do you want to have that clear conversation with God? This is what it's all about. Opening up a dialogue by which you can hear God's voice. How many of you all want to hear God's voice? Amen?
Yes.
How many of y'all want to hear God's voice?
Yes.
And so we're going to stroll through God's Word today, and we're going to go through this workshop, and I want you to know that God has got something special just for you. I want to make sure that if you don't have a Bible, raise your hand. If you don't have a Bible, we've got our Bible counselors who are walking around right now. They're going to make sure that you have a Bible, and we're also going to make sure that you have a pencil, because you will be writing. I've shared with you before, if it's not in God's Word, it does not deserve to be heard. So we are going to be in God's Word. We're going to talk about what God's will is for your life and talk about how you're going to relate in relationships. I've shared with you all in the past, that all 10 commandments hinge on two things. What? Love your... Remember, let's stop again. Love your... Love your God with all your heart. Love your... As your... All right. That's critical. Because everything that you do in life is going to relate to those two things. Your relationship with God is critical because it's going to relate to those two things. All your 10 commandments, all God's 10 commandments, and I've shared with you before, the 10 commandments of God are the character of God. Remember I shared with you, look at your fingers now. Come on, look at your fingers again. Look at your fingers and look at your toes. And I want to remind you once again, you have 10 fingers and 10 toes. Isn't that right? The Bible says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. So when God created you, God wanted to remind you of his character. So he created your 10 fingers and your 10 toes. So he can remind you of God's 10 commandments. Somebody ought to say amen.
Amen.
That's because God wants you to always remember that what he's trying to do is instill in you those things that are right. Those things are that are character-like. That's why you want to reflect the loving image of Jesus. Somebody ought to say amen.
Amen.
And so we're going to talk about today how we're going to move to the next level. How many of y'all want to move to the next level in your relationships? Amen. So we're going to talk about that today. You missed last night. Those of you who are not here, and we dealt with that. We opened up this conversation as it relates to relationship. You don't want to miss tonight at 5:30. God's Traveling Circus is going to be here. What a wonderful opportunity to see the young people minister to God. And then again, on Sunday at 7 o'clock, we've got one-time band that's going to be here, praise the Lord. And then we're going to go right into God's Word as we still focus on relationships. For this whole month of August, you do not want to miss what God has in store for you. I'm going to ask you to turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 20. When you get it, say amen.
Amen.
There's something about being in God's Word. Isn't it something refreshing about being in God's Word? Isn't that right?
Amen.
God's got some great things for you. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning, listen, verse 20. I want you to listen to what it says. This is very powerful. It says, giving thanks always and for everything to the to God, the Father, in the name of who?
Lord Jesus Christ.
Submitting, oh, submitting to one another out of what?
Reverence.
Out of reverence for Christ.
Yes.
Verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the what? Oh, we'll talk about that. Don't get nervous. Some of you are already nervous. Oh, man, he's going to talk about it. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the what? His body and his himself is what? His Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should what? Well, I'm having a hard, you guys are having a hard time reading this. I understand that. But don't judge it yet. Don't judge it yet. Let's listen to the word, and then we'll explain what God is talking about in his word.
Amen.
Okay? But let's read it. Come on, let's read it with confidence. All right? Let's say it one more time. Verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself his Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to the husbands. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church, and gave himself up for her, that he may sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. We'll stop right there. We'll pick up a little later. I'm going to ask you to turn to your sheet. We're going to explain it. We're going to make it plain. You'll leave here tonight with substance and confidence. Amen. Of what God is saying in his word.
Right.
Part two. You missed part one. That's all right. But you're here for part two. You don't want to miss part three, which will take place on Sunday evening at 7 o'clock. Let's look at thoughts on relationships. The very best of, and I'm going to parenthesis of marriages. Relationships are made by best of friends who face together, hand in hand, the good and bad life sins. They aren't afraid to share the deepest feelings of the heart and respect each other's needs to spend some time apart. They support each other faithfully when troubles come their way. They don't blame in haste or anger, but who love in what they, what?
Sin.
They make marriage relationships like true what?
Friendships.
Full of deed that show they care, and they find a world of happiness in all the love they
share.
Isn't that something? In the book of Ephesians, it kind of outlines what God desires and what God shares as it relates to relationships. And I want to share this with you. What God wants out of your relationship is the best.
Amen.
I want to say that up front. There's no secret with this, that God wants you to have the best relationship possible.
Amen.
God does not want you to be in a relationship just existing.
Amen.
That's not his desire.
That's right.
Amen.
It is God's desire when you enter into a relationship that you are excited about the person that you're with.
Amen.
When you enter into a relationship with your husband, or you enter into a relationship with your wife, or you enter into a relationship with your children. Because it's more than just that intimate relationship with your husband and wife, but it's a parental relationship. We're going to talk about that too. And then it's that relationship of those single sisters or those single brothers.
Yes.
Now I want to pause for just a second before we get into it. I'm going to have my wife. I've got a couple of gifts that I want to give up front. Just up front. And a couple of gifts I want to give. I want to ask, maybe who's been married here the longest?
Right.
Okay, that's one hand. Do you believe that?
No.
Okay, how many years?
20 years.
20 years? All right, can someone beat 20 years? 26.
27 in 2 months.
27?
Yeah.
35. 35?
Oh.
Someone's hands? How many? 30. 30, 30? There's still some. 35 is on?
Hey, the Francis is.
42.
42. All right. 42.
Hey.
We're going to give that book. One book.
Hey. Hey, Dave.
Five. That was a single.
Dave.
That's it. Okay.
Sister Francis.
We're going to give that book to that couple right there. What does that book say?
The five love languages.
Come on now.
Yes.
And you've been married 40 years. So I know you know love languages. All right? So I want to give you that book. I want to make sure, I want you to, before you leave here today, I want to make sure that you take some time to look at some of these books here. Some of them deal with relationships as it relates to each other, but also they deal with relationships as it relates to parental relationships. And also I have some single situations there, just a single individual. Also, who's been married the least here?
Me.
Who's been married the least? Who just got married? Okay, how long have you been married? 9 years, okay. Can anybody, has anybody been married less than 9 years?
Me. I'm just keeping real.
How many years?
Six.
Six? Okay, we got six. Okay, yeah. The love dare, that's right. Give that to them. That's the journal, give that to them. 6 years. Right here. Raise your hand. 6 years. Now, I've got some, I'm gonna have my Bible counselors can help me, help my wife. I've got some, what are those called, babe? Cosmetic cases. We're gonna have these for those who want those. These are to the young ladies and to the ladies. We've got some cosmetic, we won't have those out now, but we'll have those there at the door. And while you're on your way out to get your offer, we've got some of those who want those. Also, I'm gonna ask, I've got one more gift right now. Is there any, the first single sister who raises her hand here? We've got a book right there. The one you're sitting on? There you go. That's for the single sister right there. Take some opportunity to read that. A single sister. I guess the single sisters don't want to identify themselves. All right? I think I got one more book for single brothers. There's single brother here. The first brother, single brothers don't want to recognize them. Hey, they're single brothers. These brothers are committed. Oh, there's one brother right here. Go ahead. No, there's another book in there, I think, that I got for singles. Go ahead and look at the title. Thank you. All right. So if we can get those cases, go ahead and grab that case because I want to make sure that they're there. Because there's cosmetic cases that I want you all to have. All right, I think we can settle here. Settle in. Is that all right? Let's talk about marriage. Let's talk about relationships. I simply want to ask a question. Why did you get married? Oh, there's no single guy raise his hand. Oh, yeah, there's one. You're single, right? Right here. Yeah, just give him the five love languages. He can be prepared. I thought I had that other book. That prepare you for what you're going to have, man, if the Lord says yes. All right. But for those of you all who are not married and anticipating marriage, why do you even want to get married? And for those of you all who are single and want to stay single, why? So I'm going to ask you to write that down for just a second. I'm going to give you some moment to think about that, and I want you to write it down. Give you a minute. You have your pencil. For those of you who are married, why did you get married? Okay? Does everyone have a pencil? Okay? For those of you who are anticipating marriage, why do you even want to get married? Okay? Then number three, for those who are single and want to be single. Because there's some people who are single and say, hey, that's what I want. I mean, the last time I checked, one is a whole number. Things that make you go, You have to think about those things for a little while. And I share that because oftentimes we don't think about it. He looks good. My biological clock is ticking. I really don't know him, but it's about that time. I mean, she is fine. She looks good. But you really don't have any substance of why you get married. Or why you want to. I just want to get away from my parents. I'm tired of living in that house. I want my own bedroom. And so there are reasons why we get married. And if we don't have that substance, and we don't understand why, it affects us in how we relate in relationships. So we got to think about that. Why do we get married? You wrote that down. Okay, listen to this. The reason you marry or want to be married will have a impact on how you relate in that relationship. I was waiting for somebody to put that word in just by reading it. It's going to have an impact on how you relate in that relationship. Yes, the wise deal with the hows. And if you don't understand from a biblical or theological sense of why I'm doing this, if you don't understand from an emotional sense of why I'm doing this, you just do it. Because it's the thing to do. Girl, you still single? Then the pressure gets on you. The reason why some people don't relate properly in relationships is because they have guess? They're married for the wrong reason. Married for the wrong reason. I mean, is that possible? It's a direct relationship. So to have a, watch this, and we use this term all the time, to have a healthy relationship, whatever that, I mean, healthy, whatever that means, you know, we always say that. To have a healthy relationship, you have to understand, you have to go all the way back to why you got married in the first place. Because if you never resolve that, you never understand that, it directly relates to how we operate while we're in that marriage. That's why some of us can just live in the same home and live as if we're roommates.
All right.
Occupying the same domicile, just there, hanging out, having a good time. But your relationship isn't maturing, your relationship isn't growing. That's how you can live in the house and not have a relationship with your children. Yes, you know them by name. Yes, you birthed them. But there is no relationship there.
All right.
See, it goes back to the reason why you even had that child.
That's right.
Did you want to keep that man? There are reasons why we do what we do. And then it relates to how we conduct, how we are conducting in that relationship. So after you didn't get that man, you look at that child, and every time you see that child, it reminds you of that man. And your relationship never gets to the level that it could be. And so you have to understand why you get married or why you want to get married. If your reason is selfish and self-centered, it's only what I can get out of it. If the cause, here it is, if the cause for you wanting to be in a relationship, cause, is not about unity and oneness, then it's the wrong reason. And you will not relate well in that relationship. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, you don't have to go there, but you can definitely have it to look at a little later. It says, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. And the two shall become one. If I don't get the cause right, my conduct, you can write that in, will not be right. And that's critical. When you don't understand why, but you just do it. And so that's why it's difficult when you're trying to track that man down. Why does he act this way? Why is his conduct this way? It has a lot to do with why he married you. Why does she act that way? It has a lot to do with why she married you. And it is so important that we understand the conduct. Because if your conduct is not right, you can trace back the why. So you want to think about it. God talked about it, we talked about it earlier. God talks about it. It's so important that you have that passion. And he calls it, when he says that I come that you may have life, we talked about that. He deals with the passion, the bio, and I told you it's not the bio, but it's the Zoe. God says you have to have passion. It's the same thing in your relationships. God wants you to have a passionate relationship with him, but also with each other. So it also relates to your conduct. And so I think that's really critical because that's how we can measure the relationship. Based upon the conduct of the person that you're with. Is this in here? Does it make sense?
Amen.
It has a lot to do with the conduct. You're asking, why isn't he calling you like he should be? Why doesn't he want to go with you certain places? Why is she acting this? It's conduct. And you have to understand in terms of your relationship that God is trying to move you to the next level, but you have to allow him to do that. So it's about your conduct. So here it is. I do not get the cause. My cause isn't right. My conduct will not be right. Listen to this. If the relationship is not right, listen. If the relationship, that's what you want to put in there. If the relationship is not right, if the relationship is not right, the marriage isn't going to be right. If you get married for the wrong cause, it shows up in your conduct in marriage. Kind of gave you a little cheat thing down there. If you marry for the wrong reason, it shows up in how you relate in that marriage. So here it goes. This is where I want you to be. In Ephesians chapter 5. Now it's going to make sense to you. I wanted to give you that backdrop in terms of content. Now watch this. Any woman who marries for the wrong cause will not submit herself unto her own husband as unto the Lord. I want you to catch that now. It goes back to what we said. Headship. If your reason is not right, you're not going to submit. So you got to begin to check your reason. You need to get yes. You have a question?
I said amen.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Hey. Amen. And that's important. You guys, anytime you want to stop me, that's what we're doing. You can't ask a question. You have that form to do that here. That's why we set it up here instead of in the sanctuary. All right? Because I wanted you to have this opportunity to be able to input. And that's important. It has a lot to do with why many of our wives are not submitting.
Mercy.
You gotta check the reason. And it's serious because in a relationship, and watch this. When Paul uses that term submit, he doesn't use the term obey.
Right.
He doesn't say wives obey your husbands. But he says submit.
Yes.
But then he says everyone is submitting. Watch this. And then he doesn't use the word slave.
Amen.
Right.
He doesn't say, women, you are going to be his slave. But he says, submit.
Submit.
And the reason why you're having problems in your home, the reason why your children isn't submitting, the reason why your wife isn't submitting is because there's an issue with why. And there's a connection there. I don't want you to miss this. There is a connection with the submitting part. Now watch this. Why is there a problem? Here it is. Any man who marries for the wrong cause will not love his wife the way Christ loved the church.
Amen. Mercy.
All right. I want you to see the two issues here. The wives are submitting, and the husband is loving.
Amen.
And notice, Paul doesn't say, wives, love your husband. Because wives innately do that. They love. Women love. It didn't say wives love your husbands. God already knew they didn't have a problem with that. Submitting is a little different. We're going to get to that.
Yeah.
But husbands, love your wife.
Amen.
Now watch this. Your wife is not going to have a problem submitting, brother, when she knows you love her.
Amen.
I want you to catch that. Your children are not going to have a problem submitting when they know that you love them.
Amen.
That's right.
And love is not just love. Love isn't
action.
There you go.
Come on. Well,
I'm trying to help you guys in this. Love is an action word.
Yes, sir. Amen.
So when you say I love you, there's got to be something behind it that's moving that love.
Amen.
When you say, I love my children, what does that mean? When you say that I love my husband, what does that mean? When I say I love my wife, what does that mean? Because God is saying that husbands, love your wife. He said you have to show that love.
Amen.
Yes.
How do you show that love, brothers? Well, someone tell me, how do you show that love? What do you do to show that love? Okay, be responsible. All right, that's an excellent point. Yes?
Exercise much patience.
All right?
I protect her.
Attentive. Wonderful. Protection. Okay. What else?
Providing for her.
Providing. All right?
Fulfill her needs.
See, it becomes an action. It's what I'm doing now. It's not just what I'm saying.
Amen.
Because if I'm saying something and my actions don't match what I'm saying, it's meaningless.
Amen.
And what God has done is God has set this model so we can understand what it means to have a relationship with Him. So He allowed us, He created man and woman. Man and womb man.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Woman. She came from?
Man.
All right. God created that because he wanted us to understand about how we should function in relationship with Him. So we talk about the love factor. We've got to love each other. Husbands, you got to love your wives. Wives, you got to submit unto your husband. Listen to this. There are things that God does, and I'm talking about love. Listen to this. There are things that God does for the church that He doesn't do for everyone. Jesus deals with the church in such a way that He doesn't do for everyone. He sets us apart as His bride. The way you talk to your wife, you should not talk to every woman like that.
Amen. All right.
The way you hug your wife, the way you kiss your wife, the way you touch your wife, you don't do that with any other woman. She's special. She's sanctified. Listen to that. She's set apart. Listen to what Paul says. He says, husband, love your wife the way God loves the what?
Church.
And what has God done to the church? He sanctified the church. Okay, what does it mean to sanctify? Set apart. So when you sanctify her, that means you don't talk to her any kind of way. That means you're not cussing her out. Because she's sanctified. And when you understand, brothers, that your wife is sanctified, then you don't treat her any kind of way. Now it goes back to the submitting. Because when your wife feels valued, she doesn't have a problem with submitting. When your wife understands that you are the man of the house, the head of the house, and you have the spiritual connection with God, she does not have a problem
submitting. That's
right. Now watch this. There's only one head.
All right.
If there's two heads in the house, that's dysfunction. Have you ever seen a two-headed man? A two-headed. That's abnormal.
Yes.
There's one head. And that's how God operates. God says, watch this. God says, man, I need you to treat your woman very special. I need you to set her apart.
Yeah.
I need you to sanctify her. And when you sanctify her, brothers, she doesn't have a problem with submitting. Now, what does submitting mean? Remember I said, he does not say she's a slave.
That's right.
Because in actuality, if you read the text, everyone in the house is submitting.
Amen.
The husband's submitting, the wife's submitting, and the children are submitting. When you have a problem with people submitting in the house, it has everything to do with headship. All right? You'll catch that. It has everything to do, number one, with your relationship with God.
Amen.
So it bothers me when I hear brothers say, well, my wife doesn't submit. Are you loving her?
All right.
That's right.
Does she know that you love her? See, it's about that confidence that you're bringing in that relationship. And that confidence happens because that person knows that you love them. Set apart. Then the Bible goes on and talks about, and I want to talk, I want you to write something in here. It says, what does it mean to leave mother and father and cleave to your spouse? Because in that text, it talks about that you have to leave. Therefore, a man shall do what? Leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. I want you to take a second and write that down. What does it mean to leave mother and father and cleave to your spouse? I want to talk about that for just a second, but just take a moment to write down, what do you think that means? I want you to look at the backdrop. Wife is submitting. Husband is loving. Because wives are already loving. Okay? God didn't deal with that. He knows that. Submitting. Loving. The two shall become one. He says, now leave. I'm going somewhere. I want you to catch this. Now listen to this. We're still in God's word. We're still in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. What do you think it means to leave mother and father and cleave to your spouse? Any takers? Anybody want to? Okay, good. What does that mean?
Okay, you've already pointed out the mother and father, the children, the household. Following the Bible, the children will submit to their father and mother.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have a man who took a wife. He stayed with his father and mother. He would have to submit to them. He has his own household to build up. So he has to leave them to build up his own household or kingdom to be king or head of.
Okay.
Independence.
Okay. Any other takers?
But he also sanctified his family too, though.
That's right. That's true. I don't want you to miss that point. And you can tell when a woman is sanctified in her home. When her husband has sanctified her, you can tell. There's a glow about that woman. Have you ever looked at some? I've heard some people say, man, when you see Barack looking at his wife, Michelle, he loves her. I hear some people say that. People can tell when you love your wife.
Amen.
They can see that. All right? So I love that. Because a man who loves his wife will sanctify his wife. And a woman who loves her husband will submit to her husband as unto the Lord. And I want you to see what a healthy relationship looks like. This is God's idea for what he wants in your life.
Amen. Amen.
And what he, you're, now why don't you catch this? What you're doing in your relationships with your spouses and your children is the same thing, it's mirroring the same thing that's happening in glory.
Amen.
Because God loves you and he's also sanctifying you.
Amen.
Remember that's how I talked to you about being filled? That's why many of us walk around as Christians and we're not fulfilled. You're not fulfilled on your job. You're not fulfilled in your home. And that's why you have people who always complain. You can tell when someone is not fulfilled. Because women and men who are not fulfilled always complain.
All right.
The food is never good. You never do that for me. I haven't done this in years. There's a reason. It's a connection. And so you want to, and if you are, and I'm going to share this with you. If you are not doing that, you can start that today. That's the beauty of this. So don't look at it like, man, I'm not doing that. I can't measure up, man. I might as well walk. No. That's why we're going through this, because what God wants to do is create that change in your life. Okay. So I want you to catch that. Any other comments about leaving and cleaving? What does it mean to leave mother and father? Yes. Yes. Any other comments? All right. Watch this. Let me share something with you. Everything you all said was great. But it's not just in the physical sense. You understand that, right? The majority of that is emotional and spiritual. And let me tell you what I mean by that. Because some of you all, not you of course, someone else out there, we're just giving them an example. Some of us are married, but we've never left the relationship of the ex. Well, he used to treat me that way, we're no longer with him. Well, she used to cook like this. Well, that's not her. And so we hold on to those past relationships. My mama used to, well, she ain't your mama. So what the Bible is saying, what God is saying, is that you have to also leave, not just physically, because that's how we take it. Well, you just got, I got to get out of my parents' house, and I got to get some, now I'm done. That means I'm cleaving. No. God is saying that when you leave to cleave, it's not just physical, but it's also emotional.
Amen.
You got to stop hanging on to those past situations that you're trying to figure out how to dictate to this current relationship. God says, leave that alone. And it's even those relationships that we watch on television. You know, we watch a certain show and you expect your relationship, you mirror your relationship like that. Well, you know, he brings her flowers every moment. That's a TV show. And when something happens in a relationship, in a TV show, watch this. If someone is unfaithful in a relationship, and they come back together, it's like, man, everything is done in that moment. And so you see them walking off in the sunset together happy. But it takes time.
Yes.
It takes time to build a healthy relationship.
Amen.
It doesn't happen overnight. So the things that I'm sharing with you, yes, are theoretical, but you have to make them practical.
Amen.
And it takes time. It takes work. You got to go into that relationship understanding that you got to put something in it. Because whatever you put in that relationship is what you're going to?
Yeah.
It takes work.
Amen.
I mean, it's not a bad thing. When you say work, people associate, oh, I got to go to work today. That's not a bad thing. I love going to my job.
Amen.
That's why you ought to be doing what you love.
That's right.
Now, you know where I'm going, right? That's why you ought to be with who you
love. That's right.
That's the problem. So when you say, I got to work at that, and your face is all distorted, it's because you don't love them anyway. And so I said, I got to work at this. But see, when you love somebody, you're gonna wanna wake up in the morning and give them breakfast in bed.
Come on.
All right. Mm-hmm.
When you love somebody, you're gonna wanna, like, you're gonna love to massage her feet.
Yes.
And watch her go to sleep. Somebody ought to say. That's critical, that's important. When you love him, you're gonna wanna sit down and watch the game with him.
Yeah.
Hey, hey, hey.
And enjoy it.
There you go, tell him, tell him.
You know, I don't like basketball. He don't like going shopping.
Talk to him, talk to him.
But it's a relationship. It's you're building a relationship and a foundation. And you're trying to develop and move this thing forward. And so you've got to cleave, you got to leave. And the problem is many of us aren't cleaving because we haven't left.
Yes. That's right.
We're still holding on to what Daddy said. Let it go. Daddy's still running your home. He's dead and buried. He's still running your home. Let it go.
Amen.
Move forward.
Amen.
Yes, this thing takes work. It's not easy. But it's sweet.
Amen.
And the more you work on it, the better it is.
Amen.
It takes time. And so it takes development. So you got to leave, you know, and for you to cleave, you got to leave. So I want us to understand. And then the spiritual sense. Let me touch on that real quick. In the spiritual sense, we're going to be out of here by 1:30, 1:35. So in the spiritual sense, when it's talking about leaving and cleaving, what God is saying there spiritually is that you have to leave those things in the past that are creating spiritual detours or spiritual stoppages in your life.
Amen.
Okay, what God is saying is this. God is saying that in your relationship for you to give to each other freely, he says, watch this, to give to each other freely is you have to give to God first.
Amen.
And by giving to him, you got to leave those issues of the past. Now, I don't have a lot of time to deal with that because some of those things are very hurtful, especially on a spiritual sense and an emotional sense. And something might have happened in your past, and this is difficult. It's difficult to deal with your current relationship because of those issues that took place in the past. But God says you've got to leave those things and cleave to this relationship. That doesn't mean that you don't or you still don't experience the pain of that issue. But it does mean that you are trying to move forward.
Amen.
To deal with the issue. Years ago, I was watching The Lion King years ago with my boys, Brandon and Jalen. And there's a point there where you have Simba, if you all remember that, maybe it's two. Yeah, it was Simba. And Rafiki, remember Rafiki, that little monkey that was out there and had a little stick? Well, he hits Simba on top of the head. And so, I don't know if you remember this scene.
Yeah.
And Simba says, ouch, why did you do that? And then Rafiki responds, it doesn't matter, it happened in the past. And then Simba says, yeah, but it hurts right now. And that is part of the issue. Some of us have been hit in the past. And it still hurts today.
Yeah.
And we really have a difficult time. I'm going to suggest this to you all. We don't have time to do this. And I'm going to put on my MFT hat. I want to share this with you all. You have to make sure that you spend some time talking to someone outside of your relationship. Sometimes it's not what you guys can get straight. Sometimes you can. But sometimes it's good to talk to a third party. And not a friend. Are you with me?
Amen.
Because you don't need to tell people your business.
Amen.
And we do that too much. So I don't have time to deal. But we spend too much time talking. We need to shut up.
Amen.
Something happens to you and your spouse, you need to deal with that between you and God and then talk to a counselor. That means somebody that can help your situation. Yeah. Not someone who's talking, well, you know, girl, he did this to her. Because guess what? Everyone's got a best friend. So you have to be careful on how you, but you got to come back on Sunday. We'll deal with some more. But you, and then, you know, even on Sunday night, we're going to talk about one of the things, one of the pieces that we're not going to hit today, but we all also want to talk about the financial piece, because that also affects your relationship. We won't get to that today, But we need to talk about how do we manage and prioritize our finances. All right? Because that is a bone of contention in many of our relationships. It all leads back to communication. And we'll talk about that as well. It all leads back to communication. But you need to figure out, you need to move forward, okay? Let's move on. We can stay here forever. When I do these workshops and seminars, it's an all-day process. So it takes time. We have to come back another time when we have more time. Want to get you out here in the next 10 minutes. I like this quote by Mahatma Gandhi. Isn't it a powerful quote? You have a question? Oh, you like that quote? I love this quote. The moment there is suspicion about a person's motives, everything he does becomes tainted. And we're talking about trust. We move from leaving to cleaving, but there's a trust factor that takes place in this relationship. Okay? And so we have to learn to listen to this. And I love this by Bill Cosby and Alvin Poussin. He's talking about the same thing. And this is that book, Come On My People. I don't know if you've ever heard that book. If not, you need to get it. It's a great book. Another book that you need to look at here, but it's a great book by Alvin Poussin and Bill Cosby. It says this. In 1950, 5 out of every 6 black children were born into a two-parent home. Today, that number is less than 2 out of 6. That ought to be, Something else, this is in a black community. In poor communities, still talking about black, that number is lower still. There are whole blocks with scarcely a married couple. Whole blocks without responsible males to watch out for wayward boys. Whole neighborhoods in which little girls and boys come of age without seeing up close a committed partnership or relationship. And then we wonder why our children are acting up. In that same book, you have a question?
Yes, right quick. Because you don't get a chance to see the value of a parent relationship. And it's therefore you don't know how to parent yourself then.
That's it. That's the modeling isn't there. We're losing that model. We're saying that, man, we're in the 21st century. We've moved beyond the new millennium, and here we are. Still struggling. I mean, years ago, we were better than where we are today. In that same book, and it's a very good book, Come On My People, I want to recommend that. Bill Cosby and Alvin Poussin says this. Part of the issues that we're having with our black boys, with our young boys, is that we don't bring them to church anymore.
All right.
Let me tell you the significance of that. Because when we were going to church as young brothers, they learned how to sit still in church.
Amen.
They learned how to dress appropriately at church. And now we're having difficulties because we're not bringing our young, I don't want to force him. Well, I don't know about you, but my parents forced me to go to church, and I'll tell y'all, all right. You going to church, brother. And there's something there that we're missing. Now, of course, we need to think about our ministries. I know that some of our ministries need to change. And that's a whole new subject. Because what's happening is that our children come to church and they're not being related to.
Right.
Okay? That's not a form for here, but we need to work on that. Because I'm not saying that we conform to the world. That's not what we're talking about. But what we are saying is that you have to have things that are going on. You have to have ministries that are going on that are making a difference in the lives of our young people.
Amen.
I don't have to beg my children. I don't have to beg my children for me to take them to McDonald's.
Right.
Dad, let's go to McDonald's. I don't have to beg my children to go to John's Incredible Pizza. Okay? Because there's something there they want.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can help our children, they'll be begging you to bring them to church.
That's right.
If there are powerful ministries going on, I won't stay there. But we have to begin to figure out what we're going to do to draw our children, our young people.
Amen.
Our black boys and our black sisters,
Amen.
Our young girls are suffering.
Amen.
That's the parental piece.
Yeah.
Because we're just not spending the time with them. So I want to encourage you to spend time with your children, spend time with each other. Let's move on. But so much to talk about, I tell you, it's so difficult. Because there's so much to talk about, I want to get you all out by 1:30. So you can't miss a single night. We're trying to break it down so you guys can understand it and digest it. That's why we only go an hour. But I want to encourage you all to come because there's so much information to share, and we've still got a lot more to share with you all from a biblical perspective. Let's look at this. Any questions before I move on of what we covered this morning? Any question? Listen to this. I like this. The top 10 ways to show your wife honor. Listen to this. Isn't that beautiful? Let's have a few people read that. Let's go around the room. Number one is what?
Praise her publicly.
Praise her publicly. Think about that. We won't elaborate too much. Number two? Number three?
Open doors for her.
Come on, man. Is Shivery dead? All right now. Somebody ought to say amen. Number four? Come on now. When was the last time, man, you put down your jacket so she could walk on in the rain? Somebody ought to say amen. Like, you know, if you ever watch TV, I know we always want to watch the new stuff. But what about the old stuff? If you watch the shows in the 1950s, when there was chivalry, man, those guys would do that kind of stuff. Yeah. Now, you know, man, we so busy trying to, well, let's move on. That's another subject. Number five. Number six. Woo. Because you know, brother, we don't like taking direction. We will be driving all over the city. We ain't gonna ask no one, but you have to learn to seek her. Let me tell you why. Let me tell you what that does. We have just a couple of young people, but I'm just gonna say the word. What that does for her, brothers, is stimulates her. And I'll discuss that another day, maybe Sunday night. Amen. I can't do it here. But you have to understand what that does when you ask her for her opinion. How that makes her feel. As your husband. Hey, you'll catch that some other time. I gotta move through this thing. You will catch that some other day. Take her
advice.
That's another thing.
Yeah.
Okay? Your sister knows what I'm talking about. Take her advice. How she feels when she knows her husband values her. And ask her. Instead of asking Joe Blow down the street, well, Joe told me to trade, do this. Baby, I've been telling you this for years. Number eight. Number nine. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? And not just on birthdays, anniversaries, but just because, not just on Valentine's Day. I said, right, Valentine. I didn't say time.
Valentine.
I don't know, people get upset, man. It's not Valentine's, it's Valentine's. All right. Number 10?
Listen.
That's critical. All right. Top 10 ways to show your husband respect. Number one? Okay. Number two?
Tell
and that's critical.
Amen.
Does anybody know why? Men have egos. Sister, you want to stimulate that brother? You make him feel like he's a king. Men love women who build them up. That's critical. So you want to brag about him. I mean, why he's around. You know, when my husband changed that oil in that car, woo, sister. He saved us all types of money. That brother be like, see the smile on his face. It'll blow you away. Number three? All right, number four? Okay, what is the old saying? A way to a man's
heart
is through his
stomach.
All right, so you guys know that. You guys been around a little while. All right, number five? Woo! Yes. Amen, brothers?
Yes.
He didn't marry his mama.
Yes.
He married you.
Right.
All right, that's critical. Number six?
Yes.
All right, number seven?
Yes.
That's critical. You know, men need that. So when he says, I'm on a fishing trip, I'm on a fishing trip. You're trusting him already, right? You're building that trust. But men need that. Men need to restore. And it's vice versa. That's true. Women need that too. Oh, women need that too. But you know, men really need to know that it's okay to be able to spend a little time shooting basketball.
Yeah.
You should be at home taking out the trash. You know the air conditioner ain't fixed yet. See, men don't do that normally. That's not a normal process for women. But women do that. Women said, how could you be playing basketball with your friends when you know you got this to do at home? See, that's why I say that. Because you have to give them that amount of time.
Amen.
To spend time. See, it does, right? You're correct when you say it both ways. But men don't tend to do that to their wives. When the wives go shopping, he ain't saying, well, you should be home washing the dishes.
Well, he said, you should be home.
That happens. That does happen. So we're not talking about possession. Okay? We got to be open. But some good points. I love it. That's why we're here in this dialogue.
So, Pastor.
All right, yes.
So what happens if you have a man that doesn't own up to those responsibilities? I mean, he should know that certain things need to be done. He should do them, you know, in a reasonable amount of time. So what does a woman do? I mean, if you can answer it quickly, I don't know.
No, the Bible says a man who doesn't work is worse than a what?
Infidel.
Worse than infidel. And that's not just the physical world. We understand that there's a time right now where the economy has dropped. It's not talking about just working out, but it's working in the home. Okay, that's what God's talking about. He's really talking about serving your family. That's what it's all about. Because it's not work in the sense that we do it today. Okay? But what God is talking about in the sense of, and I'm going to come to you, what God is the sense of is that you got to be willing to work for your family. So a man who does not work for his family is worse than a... That means, brother, you can't be sitting at home and nothing happening in your home. You're not supporting your wife. You're not helping with your children. You're not doing anything in the home. Then you're worse than an infidel. In God's eyes, man, it's a bad thing. Yes. Go ahead, answer it.
Well, it's taken another while. It's just that the way women do things is different. If you want a guy to do something, you don't do what you said because they're not going to do it. It's how you ask and say, okay, I like this to be done at that point in time because men respond differently.
That's true.
If you give them a time frame to do it, they'll do it in that time frame. But if you come in to check at that point, they're not going to do it. It's like you're watching the game, but she waits until the game is about in the last quarter to ask you to do something. But she said before the game started, well, when the game is over, do this.
He's absolutely correct. Watch this. Great point. I want you to catch this, because what he's saying is absolutely correct. Listen, women speak fine print, men speak headlines. Okay, I want you to catch that. Men speak headlines, women speak fine print. Okay, so you have to know, and the timing of what you say is very critical. He cannot be watching the game, and in the middle of the game, smack him on the back of his head and say, well, you ain't taking out this trash. You just created an argument. What you want to say is that, honey, would you finish watching the game? Would you mind taking out the trash? Actually, it's not what you say, and I'm going to come to you, I want to say this point. It's not what you say, but it's how you say it. Years ago, there was a show.
What's that show?
What's that show with that guy from, used to be on Cheers? Anyways, it was one of those shows. I can't remember the guy's name. No, it's the guy. You guys got me. Okay, anyways, it's one of those shows. I can't remember, so I don't want to hold it any more time. But one of those shows I was watching. And the guy was talking about, he said, man, it's not what you say. He was with his friends, and they were sitting on the couch. He said, it's not what you say, but it's how you say it. He says, watch this. So his wife comes home, and he says, he says, hi, sweetheart. He says, do you mind taking out do you mind taking out the trash? And then he called her a certain name. But he wanted to show his friend, and his wife totally missed what he said, because of how he said it. And it dawned on me. He was using it as an illustration to say that it's really not what you say, but it's how you say it. That's really the point. And so I agree with you on that. Yes?
There's a point I was thinking about. In fact, some men are not, I should say, talented. They don't know the difference between a pliers and a spoon.
Right.
So I'm saying, ladies, understand your husband.
Yeah.
Don't ask him to fix the car if he doesn't know the difference.
Right. And I agree with you. But see, what your wife expects is for the car to be fixed.
Right.
So if you don't do it, somebody else needs to do it.
Amen.
So you need to get on the phone and call your friend down the street, or you need to take it into a shop. You can't sit there and watching the game and the car isn't fixed a month later.
Right.
Okay, so sometimes it's not that you, and of course they like that you can do things around the house, but they just want the job. At the end of the day, they want the job to be done.
That's right.
Okay? Any other comments? Questions? Boy, you guys are great. So I said it encourages interest, Give him time to be alone. Number 8?
Say thank you.
All right. Number 9?
Respond to his touch.
Woo!
Watch out.
It's that endearing touch. You have to make him feel like he's all of that. Okay? That's a part of building him up, part of his ego. Okay? So you're making him feel that, so when he touches you, shields up my touch. You know, you make him. Okay, you have to be over the top. But you do have to make that person feel important. All right? Number 10 is what?
Let him be himself.
That's critical, isn't it?
Yes.
Let him be himself. He's not Denzel. Never will be.
Right.
Accept that brother who he is. That's it. That's it. Accept him. All right? Don't try to make him someone else. You know, well, such and such was an attorney. You know, such and such was a doctor. You know how we do it. And really, it's, we think about those. I mean, we don't do it to hurt, but really it does. So we have to be very careful. Let that person, if he wants to be, let him be that. Right? As long as he's taking care of his family and he's building up his family, you know, I think that's critical. You have to do those things that are going to be encouraging one another. Any questions? About 10 minutes over. Any questions, comments? All right. If not, let's have a word of prayer.